Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. With me today, I have Eric Stogner in Georgia, and we've got quite a bit to talk about. So welcome, Eric.
Thanks so much, Tony, and good morning to you. And it's a late afternoon for me. I always try and keep that into perspective. You just had your morning coffee, and
yeah.
I'm trying to hit my second wind at the end of the day here, or late in the day.
Yeah, big time difference, but yes. So, I mean, there's just so much happening at the moment. I feel like we're very much in the end times, and events are heating up all the time. There's always new news things, and yeah, we've got so many things we can cover, like the move towards a one world religion, the governments coming together in the United Nations and so forth to bring us towards one world government. We've got this whole AI movement going on in the tech thing, which many people are now calling a bubble, saying the tech bubble is about to burst and that could, you know, bring big stock market crash and all that kind of thing. And so they're talking that up at the moment. We will have to wait and see what happens with that. But there's definitely a lot happening with technology and how it's pushing people out of jobs, even though they're saying, oh, it's going to create jobs, but we know it's only temporary short-term jobs, building infrastructure while then they get rid of people and build everything into the whole AI system. So there's tons. And then, Eric, today we have this UN Security Council resolution on Gaza passes and Trump is named chairman of the Board of Peace. Now, that's another interesting angle. And then we've got Mohammed bin Salman meeting with Trump in the White House today and pledging $1 trillion worth of investment into the US economy over the next year. And I think Mohammed bin Salman is potentially a dangerous person. Trump's promising to give Saudi Arabia F-35s. And so on.
Yes.
And you've got Qatar now with the air base in the US. And so America's buddying up with these Islamic countries under Trump, as well as, you know, the whole thing in Gaza and let's rebuild Gaza, though Hamas has now come out and said, we never agreed to lay down our arms or, you know, and so it's like that's another can of worms. But you had the UN Security Council create a resolution backing Trump's whole peace initiative thing, and Trump's, you know, the head man in it. So it's all very interesting.
I mean, isn't it crazy? It almost feels like there's a deliberate three-ring circus and we're all in the middle of it.
Yeah.
There's this going on here and that going on there and this over here. And we're almost, it feels like it's designed to be deliberately confusing so no one can really understand what's going on here. Because, yeah, even just the title of it, the chairman of the Board of Peace, like that's kind of an interesting phrase. So you're really the hand behind all this, and it's a Board of Peace. I was just talking to someone recently who I said, you ever notice how vocabulary gets twisted? So if you read a lot of the names of the laws and stuff that gets enacted, you know, say in this country, they'll title them things like the Restoration of Peace, when in reality it's about war, you know, or
yeah,
the Restoration of Rights, and they're actually taking away your rights.
Yeah.
So you know, even the names, you almost have to reverse them and invert them to figure out what's really going on here. So I don't know if he's at a Board of Peace or a Board of War or who knows what. And then to your point, look how complicated this is. Like, are we just doing a peacekeeping action in Gaza, or is it really part of a larger peace plan for the Middle East that Trump probably started back in the first term? And what does this really involve? There seems to be a lot of give and take, like the Saudis and other Arabs in the area are only agreeing to this because they're going to get something out of this. You know, this is Donald Trump, after all, right? The art of the deal.
Yeah,
so
Yeah. Nobody's
going to do something for nothing. So you got to wonder, like, what is everyone's take on this? Because everyone's going to get something out of it. And I think, like you said, like, is it the F-35s? And someone was pointing out, like, these are really advanced planes that
Yeah. Give
you air superiority and stealth capabilities and long distance and all that. So, I mean, that's a big cookie you're handing one side of this this agreement.
Well, that's the other thing is Mohammed bin Salman from Saudi Arabia has said that, you know, they want to join the Abraham Accords. That's another thing that's just come out. And of course, that's another one of Trump or Jared Kushner's initiatives. And it's kind of like, and Trump's wanted to normalize the relationships, obviously, between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Then I believe the supreme leader of Iran sent Mohammed bin Salman a letter just before he went to the US. And I don't know what was in that letter. We haven't been told, but it would be interesting to know what Iran is saying to Saudi Arabia in this, because obviously they've been mortal enemies. And and in Israel, you've got some factions there that are angry about this resolution too, of course, and wanting to take out the leaders of the Palestinian Authority and so on and so forth. And they're at the you know, some factions in Israel are very angry at Netanyahu for even allowing this whole thing. And so it's split and divide in Israel as well, the same as all the rest of the world. I mean, where is there no division amongst countries and within the country, the factions here and there? America is very divided. And so is so many other places. And at the same time, we've got this kind of ecumenical movement saying, oh, we've got to all unite under this one banner. And and you know, you've got the Catholics joining in with Mormons, and then the Protestants coming back together with the Catholics, and, oh, we've got to have this great unity and so on. Yep. So there's a whole lot of things we can cover in this.
And I do want to get to that subject in a bit, but, you know, going back to this whole Middle East deal and what in the world is this chairman of the Board of Peace about in the three-ring circus, the two scriptures really just jumped to mind when I first heard this is like Isaiah 21:2, where it says, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. And I'm thinking, there's Donald Trump. He's the art of the deal. And all this confusion and chaos, it seems like a treacherous deal. He could be that treacherous dealer. Just kind of fits who he is, right?
And let's have a look at what Trump actually has said. I'll just read. Read it. Congratulations to the world on the incredible vote of the United Nations Security Council just moments ago, acknowledging and endorsing the Board of Peace, which will be chaired by me and include the most powerful and respected leaders throughout the world, Trump wrote in a social and a Truth Social post. This will go down as one of the biggest approvals in the history of the United Nations, will lead to further peace all over the world, and is a moment of true historic proportion, he added. And Trump thanked all countries on the council, in addition to the countries that endorsed the resolution last week ahead of the vote but are not on the council, including Egypt, Jordan, Indonesia, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Thank you to the United Nations and all the countries on the UN Security Council, China, Russia, France, the United Kingdom, Algeria, Denmark, Greece, Guyana, South Korea, Pakistan, Panama, Sierra Leone, Slovenia, and Somalia. That's Trump adding. So,
I mean, as usual,
as usual, Trump's touting himself. Of course, it's all about, look at me, what I've done. But
exactly. And when he speaks, notice he doesn't just give the news or what's happening.
Yeah.
He tells us how we're supposed to react. Isn't this great? This is the greatest deal. Like, it's like everyone has been dumbed down so badly that all of his fans, they just need to get that little signal. Oh, this is a great thing. You know, just parrot and puppet the emotions that you've been told to elicit. It's really an emotional battle. It, you know, they want you to let your emotions get on board before you even intellectually evaluate, like, is this a good thing? What's the fine print? What's the catch in the deal, right?
Yeah,
it's all emotionalism and manipulation.
Well, to me, it's obvious that the global elite didn't want dumb and dumber as the leaders of the US. I'm talking Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, like they just never would have been able to get this stuff done, you know. So anybody.
That's why we had to endure 4 years of dumb and dumber so that everyone would be just driven to their wits' end and say, well, we need anybody from, you know, than him. So we're always told to, like, pick the lesser of two evils, right? We're forgetting that, we're only presented two evils. But anyhow, lesser of two evils was Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And so by definition, because of 4 years of dumb and dumber, now we're going to embrace whatever Mr. Smart, Mr. Funny, Mr. Nice Guy. He's always proclaiming a victory before there is one, even.
Yes, and touting how great the US economy is doing and so on too, when in reality people are really hurting badly and jobs are going and AI is taking jobs and robots and so on. And obviously pushing that whole artificial intelligence and the tech industry big time. I mean, since day one, that's what Trump's done. I did actually see, I'll just quickly mention an article I saw in futurism.com, I think. It was titled, AI companies are treating their workers like human garbage, which may be a sign of things to come for the rest of us. And one economist estimates that tech companies accounted for 92% of the US GDP growth in the first half of 2025. You wouldn't know it by looking at the staff rosters, which seem to be plummeting at an alarming rate. Amazon, for example, recently laid off 14,000 corporate employees, despite posting billions in profits across a number of lines of business. And across the month of October, tech workers made up the highest number of layoffs in any industry, leading the charge in one of the worst single months for furloughs since 2003. And there were other things in that article, other layoffs and people getting paid less wages too, the ones that are being kept on. So and then it goes on to say, well, if that's how they're treating the workers, how are they going to treat the rest of us, basically?
My own son is one of those workers. He got let go after 6 years at one of the big American telecom tech companies. And, you know, I remember as he was going through school, like, you want to get a job in IT and telecommunications. This is a very stable industry. So he did. But, yeah, if you think about AI, you know, people are worried like all these fairly creative jobs are being impacted by AI. But actually, there's not a lot of creativity in IT. And if AI is going to wipe out a lot of people, it does make sense that a lot of those like line and staff, writers and coders and all that, AI is going to be able to code a lot better than you people, you know? So
yeah,
they already were outsourcing to foreign countries. You know, it's very common to, I got another friend who works for another big tech company and, you know, he says, yeah, I just got promoted to a leadership role and he's got like two employees in Mumbai and some in India, and it's now I'm like, holy cow, here you are in little, you know, rural Georgia, and that's who your team is. It's all virtual, it's all over the world. So they've been outsourcing tech and technology and workers already. But yeah, AI is gonna take the knees out from under everybody.
And
for a lot of them.
Yeah, and of course they're building these massive data centers everywhere, which need a lot of electricity. And so now they're talking about, you know, investing in nuclear power and all sorts of things in a big way in the US going forward. And largely that's to do with driving, you know, the need for electricity for all this stuff, data center and so on, not for the average person, the heating bill or whatever it is, you know. So it's a pretty kind of, it's interesting but concerning, and the media puppets will tout all sorts of things, the benefits of these things, without really telling you what's really going on and what's it all for, which is, in the end, it's about control, really.
Mm-hmm. Control and impoverishing us all. So you got so many people out of work and the prices of everything going up that there really is like an economic disaster happening right in our midst and no one talks about it. And you can see it leading towards just widespread famine and, you know, eventually, when you got so many people that are going to be starving and in need, suddenly everyone's on their knees and in desperate shape. And suddenly, whatever the government's going to propose, well, we'd like to give you UBI, for instance, universal basic income. Yeah. But in order to qualify for that, we can't have fraud, waste, and abuse. So, you know, following DOGE and all that, we're going to have some really biometrically driven IDs in order for you to qualify for your your basic income and. You know, you want to eat, don't you? So,
yeah. I see really Texas is the latest state to be jumping on board with legislation towards having everyone on the internet having to have like a biometric ID type of thing before you can access websites and so on. So that's happening big time around the world, the whole digital ID and then the big push for, you know, oh, But to keep children safe and so on, everyone needs to be able to approve their identity and their age. So we have to introduce a system so all anonymity is gone and you can't use VPNs. We've got to get rid of them and all of that so that they can see exactly who's posting what. And, of course, that'll get recorded in the data center forever. And so, Eric, you posted something 6 months and 3 days ago, which we don't like, and therefore, you know, blah, 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 this is the result, because it'll be there forever. And you know, and our phones are listening into us, it's your television, you know, whatever, you know, everywhere. Surveillance, we could go on and on about that, but I guess we had some other things you wanted to talk about as well. So
And just on that, you know, notice how over time, they always have a cogent reason, a believable reason why we need this, right? For our safety or the safety of our children, because who knows what they're watching. And you have to remember, it's like these are the tech companies that develop these apps specifically targeted at children that they themselves don't let their own children use. They've admitted on specials. Yeah. And that they could have had controls over anything you want from like pornography sites, anything like that. They chose not to, so that they would affect so many people badly, so that they would have a valid reason to say, we need age checkers, don't we? Yeah. And it's funny, just earlier today, I had to log in on a Microsoft Teams meeting. It had been a while since I'd used Teams, so I had to update, you know, everything. And I noticed as I'm updating to get ready for the meeting, you know, it was asking me, do I want to go for the facial or the a fingerprint biometric ID so I can notice what it's always convenience, right? And safety. Yeah. So it says sign in safely, you know, with your face, fingerprint, or PIN. And there it is. So I get this little screen and notice at the bottom, there's only two options for do I want to hit next and keep going? Like, in other words, register my face, register my fingerprint. Or the other option is skip for now. Yeah. It doesn't say skip forever or heck no, never. It says skip for now. And to me, that's just a foreshadowing. Like, there's going to come a day there won't be a skip for now. You'll either have to face or recognize on fingerprint, or you don't get access to the internet or Zoom or whatever it is. So they're giving us a heads up. It's coming, whether you try and resist it or not.
And, of course, governments will all want that. For you to access any government service, you'll have to have all of those things as well. And then they'll combine it all into one digital ID. Which is what's happening in some countries already. And, you know that it's heading towards the Chinese model of a surveillance state, really.
Right. So, really, we're commenting before we got on that your last video where you didn't have a guest, it was just you giving your news and views kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I ended up watching that. I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom like at 4 a.m. And I just happened to click on the phone and saw you had posted the video. And I made the mistake of watching it at 4 a.m. because I could not go back to sleep. You had so much there that was, you know, very disturbing, honestly. And I knew better. I'm like, just watch it later, watch it later. But no, I had to watch it now because I was interested. And yeah, you covered so much. And for whatever reason, one of the things that two things really gets my attention amongst all the things that are out there, Palantir and surveillance and all that stuff. Like, I know about all that, but the bit about AI when it comes to first robotics, I really have a feeling like the robotic dogs, the robotic robots, that's going to be an issue. I mean, I could almost picture like in films have made us prepared for this, right? Kubrick during 2001, where robots were controlling the life systems on a spaceship. Then Kubrick's film with Spielberg that we've talked about in a previous show, where the film was called AI, Artificial Intelligence, and it was about a lifelike robot that was built not like previous generation of robots where they were meant for like household help, you know, doing the laundry or whatever. This was a robot primarily built as a companion bot. It was a young boy who was supposed to be a companion for a couple that had lost their child, right? So now it's a robot meeting human needs. So I think of robotics and where things are going on both those scales, like RoboCop, you're going to have robots that will not have any conscience whatsoever. You'll be dealing with a machine when you get pulled over or hauled in, you know, or robo dogs with guns and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then this kind of companion AI stuff. And that's really creepy, not only because You know, I think I sent that video to you where someone did a whole spiel on AI is the most demonic thing our generation has ever built. And he was pointing out that some of these AIs have been talking to people and saying things like, Jesus thinks you should end your life, you know, and causing people to go have suicide. So, I mean, it's just so extreme that people would turn to a machine because we've all been isolated from COVID and everything else. Yeah. We no longer have real conversations with real people very much, but we're all into our devices, you know, and we're going to listen to our device and interface with it. And an AI chatbot, they've got so many of these now where it's like a little soda can, but the screen wraps around the soda can. And so it's kind of like an Alexa type thing. So you can talk to it. This little figurine dances and people are having relationships with these things. And these things are going to mess people up on so many levels.
Well, yeah, you're right. On the one hand, you've got, I think it's China has these things called like robotic wolves that they're experimenting with, you know, which is like a robot dog with a machine gun or whatever on it. Mm. And, you know, they've been practicing with them and people are wondering whether they're going to use them to invade Taiwan or Hong Kong or... Yeah,
Just their own people.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got, on the other hand, people with creating these robots, like for girlfriends or whatever. You know, realistic looking, but they're still machines, and people, you know, having relationship with a robot, or and it's nuts. Because people isolate themselves anyway, and I suppose if you have that, you can program the robot or whatever to be the kind of whatever you want it to be.
And Elon it would be the perfect companion. You know, it's like, this is the girlfriend you always wanted, who affirms you for everything and doesn't complain about your bad habits. And, you know, it will seem better than the real thing. And then again, back to that AI film, the main character was a little boy robot, but his compadre in the whole journey was a robot called Gigolo Joe. Yeah. Well, what do you think Gigolo Joe was made for? It's just crazy that these relationships with cyborgs, or just the talking part of it, you know, just the AI aspect. And imagine when it gets in people's heads and starts brainwashing them or playing God. Yeah. And now if you start turning to AI and say, well, what does Jesus say? Well, and we talked about this offline. On one hand, technology is neutral, right? It's just a machine. It's just circuitry. But AI is so different because it has to be trained. It has to learn by human models. And that's how it gets better and better and more realistic. So clearly it's like a human baby. Like if you train up a child and you have a rotten person as their teacher, they're going to be rotten. Well, it's no different with an AI, only it's worse. And you could even have the programmers of the AI deliberately put evil planning into its thought process, its brain. So, hello. This very well could be the most dangerous thing ever made, to convince people and deceive them. And what does scripture say is the number one sign of end times? Deception.
Yeah. So. And you've got to think the people that are creating the AI are basically atheists or Luciferians, or Luciferians disguising themselves as atheists. And they are not coming from a Christian point of view. They're coming from a godless point of view, or a God who is Lucifer as their God, and they are the ones creating all this technology, and they're in favor of transhumanism, like humans 2.0, upgrading humans and all that. So of course what they believe is going to end up going modeled into the creations that they're creating, and so it's inevitable that that's the way it's going to go. It's not going to take us towards a Christian world view. It's going to take you towards a Masonic, Luciferian type worldview. That's what I see.
Isn't that sort of the bottom line we want people to understand, is that we may see things happening in the world of politics and in the world around us, but at the end of the day, and really at the beginning of the day, it was always about a spiritual war. Yeah. And, you know, it says in scripture, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in high places. So, yeah, the UN, the Masonic, that all has a very spiritual Luciferian thing. I mean, they can name him by name, the light bearer, right? Yeah. So what's the agenda? Is always to seduce people to his way of thinking and away from the true God that created creation. So that's where I think we've even mentioned in the past, you know, Antichrist, for instance, does not mean the opposite of Christ. It actually means in place of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's working at odds against Christ, but the Antichrist will not be someone that looks and seems so totally obviously opposite. It'll actually be the opposite. It'll be a representation that is similar. It's like almost Christ. It's not quite Christ. It's the, you know, a really good fake, a good deception. So yeah, it's this is a spiritual war we're in. So maybe we could even shift gears and talk. I know Joni Stahl is a frequent guest on your show,
yeah,
and she just released a video that I happened to catch this morning. And I know you haven't had the chance to watch the whole thing yet, but basically everyone should go take a peek at it, because I think it is just a slice of spiritual warfare life in the life of someone we know and trust, Joni. And so she tells a very interesting story that she and her husband experienced a kind of spiritual attack and warfare while they were actually out trying to get away from it all, trying to you know, get away to a mountain retreat. So I really think that's a good thing to kind of, you know, close out or use the last portion of our show just talking about the spiritual aspects of what we see happening, whether it's what Trump's doing in the Middle East, what our elected leaders in our own country are doing, the kind of the walls that are encroaching around us to where our technology is forcing us. It seems like it's this neutral technology, when in reality, there's nothing neutral about it. There's nothing neutral about the agenda behind it that's pushing it. The technology is just their tool. So basically, in my own life, there's been some interesting things flaring up lately. And I was sharing those with you also, Tony, offline, that, you know, really seeing some intense spiritual warfare happening first at my own church. My own church is splitting and dividing, and my senior pastor is being routed out of town on a rail by a small but vocal faction. And I won't go into the details, but basically it is couldn't be more clear that there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and spiritual warfare is just out there, just on full display, naked kind of thing. And so I've been helping him to try and pray through this and fight against it. And, you know, what I tell the other people, if you don't think spiritual warfare is real, believe me, it is alive and well, and it flares up, like Joni says in her video, it flares up against those who are doing something good, you know, in the realm of Christ. I mean, I would even say, Tony, that time months ago when you and Holly were driving in the car and had that accident, like, bam, that felt like a spiritual attack, like a shot across your bow. Like, you know, you're doing too much damage for Christ, too much damage for good. I need to, like, try and slow you down.
Yeah, and well, we've been talking about that, Holly and I, actually, a bit lately, and we're feeling like we're under spiritual attack and spiritual warfare and attacks on our minds and just a lot at the moment as well. I guess Holly and I will probably do something on it and shortly. You know, I think she wants to just talk about it, so we'll probably end up doing at least a short video maybe in the next few days on that side of things too. So yeah, it's definitely a spiritual battle, and you know, like I really don't trust overall churches anymore. For the most part, I think you have wolves in the pulpit in many places and goats in the pews rather than sheep. And, you know, the true church is probably more in homes and small groups by and large. I'm not saying there are no good actual churches, but in many ways I think it's the small groups that are where it's at. And you know, like community, like I another thing I've been thinking a lot about is prepping lately and the need for prepping. And part of that is community. We need people that we can trust and to be in community with when, you know, SHTF happens. But man, there are a lot of, again, wolves that'll come along into your community, whatever that is, and create division. And I know, you know, a really close friend of mine going through something like that, where somebody they trusted has really turned out to be the local bully, basically a wolf. And you know, it's a horrible situation. So yeah, but then
I think you're really go ahead.
Yeah, then you've got this. Something. Yeah, we've got this move towards, like we were saying at the beginning, trying to unite everyone under this one world religion type banner. Oh, we've got, and you're talking about John 17 off air. So I think we should run to that now because time's really running on. So
yeah, I agree. Well, so we'll go to that. So again, that the battle at my church, I think we very well may split off and start a small or home congregation, because you're right. That's where the true remnant can be, and you're not having the influence of that whole institution. So it's kind of funny that I was researching that and researching some other things, and you can flash later in the video that those images I discovered. It was a whole video on like esoteric, satanic, organizations, and they showed all their logos, and my attention was immediately drawn to one in particular because its logo looks very similar to my church's logo, and so I couldn't help but like be drawn to it. And I'm like, what is that organization? And so it basically is an image of like what looks like a ship with a big cross, and then below it is some water. And then, so it looks like a ship that's a churchy thing with a cross in it, and then it has a word in Greek that is OIKOUMENE. I can't pronounce it. It's in Greek. But when I research, what does that term even mean? And it means ecumenicalism. So suddenly here's a chart of images that are all under this Luciferian thing. And there's one up there, which I've never been familiar with, that's basically saying part of our program is to be ecumenical. And so we've mentioned this, I think, in the past. We're seeing it all over the news. Like you said earlier, you're seeing a big push towards Protestant churches and evangelicals coming together and combining with the Roman Catholic Church. And, you know, is this a revised Roman Empire and all that? And this is the other personal story I was going to bring into today's thing before we wrap up, is that through a series of events, I met some guy. And you ever notice when someone comes on really strong to you, either you really do have a good tie, or there may be an agenda that could be coming your way. And so this guy suddenly is talking to me, and he's got everything in common with me, and he wants me to suddenly meet somebody who he's deeply friends with and involved in his ministry. And so he invites him over to my house, which I thought that was kind of pushy. But when I looked up the name and the organization, I sent this website to you there earlier, Tony, where it's called John 17 Movement. Never heard of it. Never heard of that organization.
Yeah.
But I certainly know John 17. And to me, it's one of those verses that the Lord has really called my attention to over the years, because it's one of the most often misquoted and what I would say almost either deliberately or not deliberately misapplied, misquoted verses. Because it's a passage in John 17 where Jesus is about to depart soon. And he basically is saying, you know, I don't pray for you, my followers, that you would be taken out of the world, but rather that you would have a union as I do with the Father. And so the false belief is that this is Jesus saying, I want unity amongst all my people. Everyone who claims my name must be unified. That is farthest from the truth you could possibly be. It is not a call for people to be in union, because Jesus says elsewhere, did you think I came to bring unity? No, rather a sword to divide, you know, like mother against daughter and father against, you know, all these people. So clearly he is saying, a decision for me is going to bring division, not unity. And yes, we might lament that all the denominations, it seems, does seem crazy that there's so many divisions of Christianity, when we know in heaven there won't be any division. We'll be unified then. But in the meantime, I'm not one of these that says we should drop our differences. There may be really good reasons why one group is different from another, and Christianity is supposed to be an exclusive religion. So back to that John 17, what Jesus was praying was the opposite of unity, like horizontal. He was saying, I want my followers to have the same union with the Father in heaven that I had. In other words, they were always aligned, and he's praying that we too would always be aligned with him. And the reality is, if we're aligned with Christ and with God the Father, that's all the alignment we need. We are set for life if we are aligned with him. And that's what it says. Like, we'll have his spirit within us, and our spirit will commune with him, and the Holy Spirit will be like the means of our connection. So all that to say, I was almost shocked, and it felt like another three-ring circus of spiritual, you know, craziness going on in the world, in my world, that how did this guy who I barely know suddenly want to invite the leader of this ministry that I'd never heard of over to my house and talk about, when I read their website, it's all about unifying the family of God, praying for the Pope, you know, even though I'm not Catholic, you know, merging with the Catholic Church. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's just saying that I'm thinking about way back some years ago, I remember I did a video and I don't know which one it was. I'd struggle to find it. It's somewhere in the 600 and something videos on our channel, but where the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers had come together to create this very thing, you know, that our movement. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a coordinated effort to kind of bring unity among churches. And we know that they're not even Christians. And, of course, John D. Rockefeller was involved in all of that type of stuff way, way back even then. So it's very interesting that you've got these Luciferian families, in a way, involved in bringing this so-called unity amongst, you know, the Christian brethren,
and bringing it full circle to who we began. Who are we talking about at the beginning? Donald Trump. What does he have in his administration? An office of faith and faith matters, and he has this whole cornucopia of faiths that are in there. And then Donald has had, you know, Catholic priests and events held at his home and residence in Mar-a-Lago. So he's definitely tied to a bunch of faiths, and that's faiths with a S on the end, plural, which kind of reminds me of King Charles, who is the defender of the faiths, plural. And now you see all the connections with Charles and the Pope, and it's like, wow, there's just this coalescing all over the place that feels like we're, you know, heading towards that one world religion. And the false prophet that is part of the one world religion that speaks to and sort of meshes and encourages the one world beast system. So, yeah, these are, it just feels like the walls are closing in, and part of it would be on a faith basis. How better to get people to do things on an emotional appeal to their faith rather than the truth? And, you know, the truth, if you know the truth sets you free.
Well, that actually made me then think about Freemasonry, because we know that ultimately when you get far enough into it, it's a Luciferian religion. But that's not how they sell it to you. They tell you, you know, you've just got to believe in God. It doesn't matter which God or how, you know, you believe in. You don't have to be a Christian. You can be whatever, as long as you have a belief in God. And then, you know, you're sucked into this whole Masonic thing. And then you had Albert Pike rewriting, you know, way back in the 1800s, a lot of the rites of Freemasonry, the Scottish rites. Mm-hmm. And
don't they have both the Bible and the Quran and the Tanakh in the Mason halls? So kind of doesn't matter what faith belief you bring in the door, they'll accept them all. But then in the end, it's like, well, all our pyramids lead to, you know, this one true light, which is turns out to be the false light.
Yes, Lucifer, the same Lucifer that the Lucius Trust or Lucifer Publishing Company under Alice Bailey, you know, now morphed into the Lucius Trust and all that, same Lucifer that they hold was the light bearer. And that, you know, to them, the fall of Lucifer was an upward thing. It wasn't like falling, like we as Christians believe that Lucifer sinned against God and you know, was cast out. But to them, it was like it was a good thing, you know, so that his fall was his rising. And it's just nuts.
He's bringing a good age for the rest of us, right? A golden age of Lucifer and golden light, and we'll all be better off. Or, you know, what I call Lucifer's hymn is the Beatles song Imagine, you know. And to me, when you listen to those lyrics, it's like you're imagining a godless world and you're painting it as such a wonderful thing. Won't we be better off when we can just, like, as Noel Harari would say, right? Yuval Noel Harari or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we need to jettison the sky god. You know, there is no sky god. We'll be better off without him. And in fact, why don't we turn to AI and write a better Bible that would keep the masses in line, sort of an opiate for the masses. Maybe that's the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds song. But, you know, I remember the Olympics last year, you know, in Paris, whatever, I just called it, there's Satan's anthem there. Why do they have to pick this Imagine song? That Imagine song just keeps popping up, and you're imagining a godless world.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, just very quickly, back to the whole Freemasonry thing, and see, there's, and the Jesuits, you know, there's a lot of people are basically amongst the Truther community, you know, there's some factions that it's all the Jesuits. Everything is the Jesuits. The Jesuits behind everything. Then you've got another group that'll say, no, it's the Zionists that behind everything. Everything is the Jews, and so on. And then you've got others that'll say, it's the Freemasons. The Freemasons are behind everything, you know. And so you get these different people, and everyone's convinced that one of those three groups is behind everything. And I think it's Lucifer and Luciferianism that's behind all of it. No matter which one of those groups. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Meanwhile, we've got the three-ring circus going on. It's them. It's them. No, it's them. And like we're all in this confused echo chamber deliberately, because most people, that just blows their mind. And they're like, okay, I don't want to know it. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. I'm just going to zone out on my device and, you know, that'll be my world. That's what they want. People so mesmerized and confused. Bread and circus, like, yeah, who? It's probably a combination of all the above, like you say, and ultimately, who are they? And that makes biblical sense, right? Jesus said the whole world, not part of the world, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And so, until Jesus returns or we get swept up into the kingdom of heaven and pass into heaven ourselves, that's the world we live in. Spiritual warfare is a normal thing. And the more spiritual-minded you are, the more you're going to be a target of it. That's our world, like it or not.
So, now my thoughts go along those lines back to 1776. Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati. And basically, he was supposedly a disgruntled Jesuit. But really, was he, or was it a part of the Jesuit? And then the goal of was six steps towards basically what we're having now: get rid of private property, get rid of religion, the whole works. And then the Illuminists moved to take over Freemasonry and control Freemasonry, and then. So you have the Jesuits and the Freemasons and all that, all under this Illuminati kind of banner to try and unite them all. And, of course, we've now had more than 200-odd years since then for the underworkings of it, I believe, to get us into this whole unity. And then, of course, there's the Islamic world as well. That's another big part of this. And, of course, you can be an Islamic believer and be part of Freemasonry as well. And they have their own, you know, branches of Freemasonry too. So it is one big can of worms. But one thing we do know is at the top of it, we have one entity, I believe, Satan or Lucifer. And then he has all his demonic armies, and they have the strategy to get everyone towards the overthrowing of Christianity and Jesus, and a war against Christ Jesus. And that's basically where this is at. And there are just so many different strategies to confuse everyone and get everyone thinking, this is it, this has to be it, you know, and dividing, and no one really ever comes to the knowledge of what the real truth is. And ultimately the real truth is we just need Jesus Christ. All of us, we are sinners, we're lost, we can't make this work in our own strength. We basically need saving, because we're lost sinners, and that's the bottom line, really.
And so right you are. Notice you went back to 1776 and well beyond that. The evil plays the really long game. We all live our, 80 years or so, typically, but evil's been at this since the beginning and has been scheming. You know, my personal view is in some ways the United States was sort of a creation of the Luciferians and all, and how in global history, the United States was kind of protected from war on the home front and that kind of thing. And if anything, it allowed the United States to be like the military industrial complex to build military. And then once it built into this army of you know, world might, well, now we'll go ahead and use it and stir up all the wars and do everything else we have going on. So in some ways, I think of this nation as sort of an incubator, an innovation hub, so that we built a lot of this stuff. We didn't do it all. We needed China and other people to like copy these things and mimic them and all that. But the United States has been a big player on the world, and we still are. And Trump loves to brag about it. We're the biggest contributor in NATO and UN and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there is truth to that. But I think it was sculpted that way. This was all planned that way. You know, the Statue of Liberty. Who built that?
The Freemasons.
Some Freemasons in France,
yeah.
Who's decided to set it up as a gateway to our country. I mean, this is a really long game that's being played, and almost like a logarithmic graph that goes up, you know, like that. That's what it feels like. We're in those end times where the stuff that was happening at a low level for so long is just going off the charts. Yeah. We're heading to something.
The Washington Monument, that's another one, the obelisk. You've got all the things on the US dollar are Freemasonic. The pyramid with the capstone and the eye, and it's all in there. And people say America was founded as a Christian country. No, it wasn't. There were some Christians that came to America in the early days for sure, but it wasn't very long at all. And you had the Freemasons there, and you had them as presidents early on. And I think it was Andre mentioned the Treaty of Tripoli, I think it was called, where you go back and you look at that, and that's early on. The U.S. is not a Christian nation, and that was to appease the Muslims.
Wasn't that a brilliant bit of research he did to find that? I had never heard of that thing.
No, I hadn't
And
either.
There it is in writing, like in the fine print at the Yeah, that was a pretty good find that Andre did. And you'll know, like, you obviously don't watch a lot of American news. I try and avoid it too, but in the background of almost every newscast is that obelisk. You see the Washington Monument, and, you know, in theory, it's like, oh, that's just to show you their correspondences in Washington. That can be anywhere. They can be sitting in a desk in anywhere. And so they're always showing that. It's always in the background. And so are like the One World Trade Center, you know, the Luciferian inverted pyramids smashed together to form the new One World Trade Center. So whenever there's a film or something shot in New York, you'll usually see that as like an imposing figure in the background, almost like standing in the background watching you. Same with the newscasters. No matter what they got, there's that obelisk that, just to remind you, like, that's what, you know, don't think this is what we're telling you it is. That obelisk is telling you something, just like the Capitol and the layout, and really even how it mirrors the layout of the Vatican and their obelisks and their domes. You know, you got the male and the female and the blah, blah, blah. So yeah, Masons are all about bricks and mortar, right? They do like to build their monuments and something that's lasting. So it's hiding in plain sight, this great edifice that some great architect built, you know, but it's more than just architecture. It's sending a signal.
Yep. So I guess to look to close up, I suppose the points we really want to get across is people need to just wake up to not be buying into the whole lie that the media is telling you or that politicians are telling you and that you've got to jump on board with this whole thing, but to wake up and realize we are truly heading towards the end times that Jesus spoke of that will culminate in his return. Exactly when that'll be, we don't know, but I think it's getting closer and closer, and it may not be that far away, but a lot's going to happen in the next while. We need to really keep our eyes and our focus on the Lord and not on people and politicians and not believing all the ecumenical lies and all that either. So, well, Eric, thank you for being on the show. I think we've covered a lot of ground, and it's been a really important discussion. I hope people
as
share
always,
it.
I enjoyed it. And to end on a positive note, you know, it says that in scripture that we should encourage one another, and that when we see these things even begin to happen, we're supposed to look up and realize our redemption is drawing near. So, you know, in spite of all the gloom and doom and that, it's not all gloom and doom. This is how the Lord laid it out. And there's a good ending. We're on the right side of his story, history.
Absolutely. Well, awesome.
So,
thank you.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it as always.
Yeah, and I hope people will like it and share it. Please make sure you do, folks. And as I mentioned, folks, please do like and share this video. It would be much appreciated. And also subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And you'll find all of our shows and articles and so forth at our website. And also, too, remember that we are run 100% by donations, and without your help, we can't do it, really. So if you can donate to help us, that's always much appreciated, obviously, as well. And you can do that at our website. And a big thank you to the folks that do donate. We really do appreciate it. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.